We're going to call the House Finance meeting to order, today being January 31st, last day of January, time 1:35. And for the record, we have Representative Holm, Representative Kelly, Representative Foster, myself, Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Stoltz, Representative Tula, Representative Hawker, and Representative Wyrock. Representative Schnault is excused, and the others will probably be showing up later. Okay, on this afternoon's schedule, we have two bills. We have House Bill 245, Veterans and POW Vehicle Fees Taxes. That's Representative Lenz. And House Bill 326, Posting of Lewd Material as Harassment. Good bill. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and take up House Bill 245 first. Representative Lenz, would you please join us? Representative Lenz, you're the chairman of the Military Veterans Affairs Committee. I believe is this a committee bill or your own bill?
It's a committee bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, if you would, for the record, tell us who you are and a little bit about the bill.
Mr. Chairman, Honorable Chair, members of the Finance Committee. My name is Bob Lenz, representative of District 31 in South Anchorage, and I'm chairing the House Special Committee. HB 245 for the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs this afternoon. And basically, HB 245 will allow the DMV to issue special registration plates at no cost to one commercial, non-commercial vehicle for a person who's been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest decoration possible for a member of the United States Armed Forces. Presently, to the best of my knowledge, there are no Alaska resident Medal of Honor recipients. I think we had one and they left for some reason. But there could be tomorrow, and we need to be ready to award this kind of special recognition when the occasion comes, and it will. It's just a matter of time. Likewise, the bill proposes deleting the $30 license fee for a Purple Heart special license plate, as well as a no fee for a current prisoner of war or for the spouse of a current prisoner of war. Purple Heart recipients have already paid a very high price. Praise God that we have no current prisoners of war, but unfortunately, again, a prisoner of war could be taken at any time, and these folks should have, to our mind in the committee, the honor of a POW plate without cost. And I'm amenable to any other provision that would make matters easier and would honor members of the armed forces and their families. And somebody said this is a feel-good bill, and I guess it is, because we need to make our military feel good for the service that they're rendering to the country, and especially for those who get special decorations and awards, and those who suffer the indignity of being a prisoner of war or the pain and injury of injury that results in the Purple Heart. So therefore, your favorable consideration of HB 245 is respectfully requested. And I guess I should point out that I have in here something a little bit unusual. The current prisoners of war, but also the spouse of a current prisoner of war. Spouses also serve. And the fact that the prisoner of war is over in Iraq or some other desolate corner of the world, their spouse is at home. And according to our vehicle to register, one may have a registered car, one may not, and so this makes it for both. And again, it'd be little or no cost because we don't have any Congressional Medal of Honor winners now, and again, praise God, and no prisoners of war. So your favorable consideration is respectfully requested.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Lynn. We do have additional people online to testify, Dwayne Bannock, who's the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, Gordon Severinson, who's with the Anchorage Municipal Military Veterans Commission, the Military Order of Purple Hearts, and two other people. So before we go to them, is there any questions for the sponsor, Representative Rowan? Seeing no questions at this time, Representative Lynn, if your schedule allows to stay, and then we'll go through the testimony.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what folks have to say.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Also, for the record, I want to welcome Representative Moses. And at this time, we'll go to Dwayne Bannock, Director of DMV. Dwayne, are you with us, sir?
There we go. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dwayne Bannock, representing the Department of Administration, the Division of Motor Vehicles. We've been fortunate to be involved in this bill. I'm mostly here today to answer questions, if there are any, from yourself or other committee members as to what the impacts could possibly be or how it is that we're going to do it. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dwayne. Any questions for Mr. Bannock? Seeing none. Okay, we do have Representative Stoltz.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bannock, a number of years ago, I worked on the legislation and staff for the Pearl Harbor survivors, and it was described by the proponent, he's a man from East Anchorage, I think now deceased, which is probably, he called it a diminishing group that would sunset itself eventually. Are there any Pearl Harbor survivors?
Representative Stoltz, through the chair, I believe I can tell you, if you stand by for just 10 more seconds,
sure.
There are a couple that are currently registered. I believe the number was 7. I'm just scanning that right now very briefly. This is 2004 data, and in 2004 there were a total of 18 vehicles registered with that classification.
Okay. Any other follow-up questions? Seeing none, thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go on now to Gordon Severson. Gordon, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. I'm Gordon Severson here in Anchorage, a member of the Anchorage Municipal Military and Veterans Affairs Commission, and of the military, a life member of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, which has an active chapter here in Anchorage. I have a Purple Heart license plate at the present time that I have had since they were first issued by DMV. So it isn't that this bill would benefit me personally, in that I paid my $30 fee when I first got it, I believe in about 1995. However, it would be beneficial to other Purple Heart recipients who do reside throughout the state of Alaska that have not purchased this type of license plate as of yet. Plus, it would be a recognition of the wounded veterans from Iraq that have some of them have returned already to Alaska. One in particular, I know, in Wasilla, and others that this would be a benefit to, and they, as young people, would be privileged to be recognized in this manner, saving themselves $30 fee. It's not, as Representative Lynn said, it's not a big amount, but it would be a very appropriate recognition, especially at this time of Iraqi veterans returning from the war in Iraq. So the Municipal Military and Veterans Affairs Commission has had copies of this bill and do support it, and the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans of Military Order of the Purple Heart also does support the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Severson. Any questions from the committee members? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony this afternoon.
You're welcome, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we'll now go to Glenn Allen. Ed Noble?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Ed, go ahead, please.
Well, I got a little story here. I've been after George down at the DMV about when he's going to redesign the Purple Heart and some other ones, and he says I better get on here and explain it to her. Anyway, my name's Ed Noble. I am a pre-World War II veteran. I have a Purple Heart, and I would appreciate or get in on help design the plates, because I've got a pretty good idea in my head, and George likes it. By the way, also, Jerry Beal and some other people recommend me for a Circle of Purple Heart. I mean, for the Governor's Award, if you remember. But I would like to, I think it's a very good idea. In fact, out of those places that are suggested, I could probably rate four of them. But if you have any, there is approximately between 30 and 40 persons left in the state that were in the service before World War II, according to the Veterans Administration. And right now, if I remember correctly, in my latest talk with people, there's about 6,000 or so Purple Heart members. I think Jerry Beal can come up with, the director of the Veterans Affairs can come up with the exact figures, but I don't think each plate that is asked for, what I've been told, is made up special, just like your special tags for your name or something like that. They're not made up in a bunch. So the people that are applying for it might have to wait a couple of weeks, but well, it's enough to order a bunch of plates, but they'll come in individually. Any more questions?
Don't see any questions at this time, Mr. Noble. Well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Yeah, but I would like to help design the plates. I got them back in my mind that we'll come out where they're just have to reword a couple of them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for offering your assistance. Okay. I don't believe we have anybody else. Is that correct? Okay. No one else is online to testify. Is there anyone here in the audience who wanted to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public testimony. Representative Lynn, if you want to go ahead and join us here, I think we'll go ahead and discuss the bill in a little more detail, and also maybe the fiscal note. Or maybe, perhaps you can help me understand the fiscal note. It looks like there's a $5,000 one-time charge. Is that correct for the new plate? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I've got a fiscal note here. That seems a bit excessive to me, but maybe Dwayne Bannock could address that. He's the one who prepared it.
Okay. Dwayne, are you still online?
Yes, sir, I am. Thanks for the opportunity. I will speak to the fiscal note. $5,000 encompasses a couple of different items. First and foremost, each and every time I make any change to my computer system requires many hours. Our system is not a Windows-based system that we can simply make one change and it hits it across the board. Our system, I've been highly critical of it, is a very decades-old system. And every license plate was actually assigned for every type of classification of automobile that we had. And to make a painfully long story short, while it does appear to be an excessive rate, forgive me, it's just because we don't have a system that is easily amended for items like this. Also in that $5,000 would include potential redesign I believe it was Mr. Noble spoke that part of our licensing plate process here is to not buy license plates by the pallet as it pertains to these specialty plates, but rather we do a design of them. Then once that design is done, we then order the plate on an individual basis. And while our per plate cost does go up a little bit by that, it is a dramatically much better use of our cash, our inventory, our supplies, and our accounting. For doing that, so that is also part of that of that $5,000 charge, sir.
Okay, very good, Dwayne. Though it looks like currently, if I understand Representative Lynn, there is no POWs or spouses of current POWs. Yes. So we would need to make this plate at this particular time, would we, or am I missing something?
And if I'm mainly sure, you don't do Gradual of Honor
winners
either.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a prisoner of war license plate. It is not a license plate specific to a former POW or a current or a spouse or a family member. It is just called a POW license plate. And if I'm reading Section 4 correctly, what we're changing is who has the availability to get the free registration on if they qualify, if there is a spouse of a current prisoner of war, they would qualify for free registration. So the way I'm interpreting Section 4, they would get the license plate that we currently have, that's a POW license plate, but they would not have to pay the vehicle registration fees that the rest of us would.
Okay, gotcha.
And Mr. Chairman, that was my intent.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Representative Lynn. Representative Holmes.
Yeah, Mr. Bannock, do you have a current Medal of Honor plate?
Representative Holmes, through the chair, no, sir, we do not. That would be also be another plate that would have to be designed per section number 5. So that plate would be its own plate, and that person would not have to pay for either the plate or the vehicle registration.
Do you know if there's any current Medal of Honor winners or Medal of Honor owners in Alaska?
Sir, we are not aware of that information.
How much would it cost to design a plate?
Representative Holm, through the chair, that's an excellent question. I'll give you the two answers, a bunch or a little, and if I can expand on that. Our license plate manufacturing firm owns their own graphic arts designing agency. And if we wanted to spend a whole lot of money, we could give it to them, and they would give us artist rendition upon artist rendition until we were satisfied, and we would pay a lot of money. What I would recommend is that we treat this section no different than we've done many other sections when there are specialty license plates, that a group is designed or a group is charged with coming up for the design of this plate, then my cost is less than $500 for taking that artist rendition and making it into the sample plate.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Change the fiscal note, the bill, or to the sponsor. Okay, seeing none, I think... Actually, let's take a brief edit here. Suzanne? Back to the committee. Representative Lynn, I think we would like to hold this over until the next time we meet, just to go over the bill a little bit more. I want to understand the fiscal note a little bit better, but certainly have all intentions of passing the bill on. I just want to do a little more research on it, and then also give the committee members an opportunity that if they want to make some suggestions to it, that they can drop those off to my office.
And thank you very much for hearing the bill, and I'll be happy to cooperate with the committee and whatever else needs to be done to get this out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll hold that one aside at this time. Go on now to House Bill 326 and ask Pulaski to join us. Mr. Pulaski is going to introduce this bill for me on my behalf. Let me see. This is posting of lewd material as harassment. Mr. Poplawski, can you go ahead and tell us what the bill is about?
I can.
Prepare to answer any questions. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Michael Poplawski, and I'm an aide for Representative Meyer. House Bill 326 includes the publishing, posting, or distribution of what can only be described as lewd or obscene material in the definition of harassment. The issue arose from working with a constituent of Representative Myers over the interim, where pictures were taken in a consensual situation, and then as the relationship ended, were used to harass this constituent at her parents' and neighbors' houses. As we looked into the issue a little bit more, it became apparent that our statutes weren't really keeping up with technology, and the availability of camera phones and small digital cameras is really changing the way these pictures can be taken, be they in locker rooms or other places, and used to harass individuals. The point of HB 326 is not to deal with jokes, but to, as it is in Section A of 1161-120A, to deal when the purpose and the intent of the person is to harass or annoy another person. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is essentially the bill. It is a relatively simple addition to the definition of harassment. The Commissioner of Corrections should be coming up from a meeting with Cheryl Frask at any moment to provide some testimony as well, but we have Annie Carpinetti from the Department of Law also to assist in answering questions. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee has.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Poplawski. And then the fiscal notes?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, the fiscal notes are 3-0 fiscal notes. Okay. And they should be attached.
Very good.
And that is public safety, court system, and law.
And I might just, if I may, for the purposes of the committee and understanding where this bill is coming from, it was actually brought to our attention by a constituent who was harassed in this fashion.
Precisely, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know who would answer this, but Mr. Poplawski here. Noticing a fiscal note of zero when you have created a new potential problem indicates to me that there's no indication of anybody performing these acts that's going to be prosecuted, because if anybody was prosecuted, wouldn't there be something here as a fiscal note, or is it, should it be indeterminate, or should it, or do we don't think it's going to happen, and it's a problem we're fixing without it being really a real problem yet?
Representative Holm, through the chairman, as I understand, the issue is more that the departments could absorb any change to the definition. It's not something that is happening as much as we necessarily believe it will, but that's with changing technology and the changing availability of items to facilitate this type of activity.
Yeah, and if I may, I believe this is a Class D misdemeanor.
It is,
and
Mr.
I don't
Chairman.
I think it takes the cost quite as much to prosecute those folks as it is like the felony, for example. But certainly we can bring Annie up if you want a better explanation.
No, I just, it was zero pistol notes. I just wondered how the impact would be. If there was an impact, how it would be handled.
Sure. Good question.
I think but that'll suffice.
Okay. All right. Apparently the commissioner is on his way to testify also. Any other questions for Mr. Poplawski? Quiet committee today.
Any personal experiences to share? Or?
No.
Are you looking for a motion to table or something?
No. In fact, maybe we shouldn't wait for the commissioner. Just go for it. If there's no questions or comments, Representative Couture?
I have questions, but I think they'd be focused to Ms. Carpinetti.
Okay.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I believe Ms. Carpinetti was here to answer questions, so it might be just appropriate to step into that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
My name is Annie Carpinetti. I represent the criminal division of the Department of Law. And I'll be happy to try and answer questions.
Thanks. What I'm trying to grapple with is if the information that's published, posted, or distributed that we're trying to outlaw now also contains speech along with it, if you fall into the same problem that the McKillop case outlines, and whether you'd be looking at the same, you know, intent problem that you needed to have a limited jury instruction, or whether or not, because it's conduct and speech, whether you might not be able to show that the infringement was real and substantial enough to be able to, you know, overcome that. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe the answer is that is going to depend on the case. Is that right?
Through the chair, I believe it will. The McKillop case involved the anonymous phone calls,
right,
and the court held that that was both conduct and speech. This is less speech and more conduct. So I think to the extent that McKillop is a problem in prosecuting anonymous phone callers, I don't think it's nearly the concern that it would be in this for this new proposal.
Right. It could happen, though.
Yes, it could.
Because you could wind up with pictures being included with a lot of words, and then you'd be in that same way. Okay, I just wanted to bring that up on the record so that everyone was on the same sheet if it happens.
Sure. I don't think there may be First Amendment problems with prosecution, but I think it will depend on the facts.
Thanks.
Okay. Good question. Thank you, Representative Dua. Any other questions for Carpinetti?
I understand. Sure, go ahead.
I'm always sensitive, Mr. Chairman, about overprotecting our own interests, and it's lewd parodies of politicians are certainly something that's right in the realm of possibility, and it'd be a free speech issue, and I can imagine all kinds of anatomical, you name it, and I don't want to be in a position of self-interest, and I wouldn't like it, but, you know, there have been, I guess, please answer this before I say anything stupid here, if I haven't already.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure what your question is. I'm sorry.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Stoltz raises something that we spent a lot of time in judiciary on, and it was a very important distinction, and that's that the conduct is not judged based on the interpretation of the person whose picture it's of. So if someone distributes pictures of myself, it's not how I take the issue, but rather what the intent of the person that was publishing, posting, or distributing it is. And that's when their intent is to harass or annoy me. That's when the conduct crosses that line that this bill is intended to address. But that was a substantive conversation in judiciary, and it was an important point.
I hope they asked it more artfully than I did, which is probably possible not to ask.
We knew what you meant.
I agree.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the public testimony then. I do see the commissioners there who requested to testify. I don't know if there's anybody online. No? Okay. Commissioner, please join us. Mr. Wright, did you want to testify on this bill?
Sure, later, sir. Thank you.
Commissioner, welcome.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mark Antrim. I'm the Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Corrections. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about this bill today. First of all, the administration does support this legislation, but I'm really here today to talk about, just kind of share with you a little personal experience I have with something very, very similar. On a case that originated here in Alaska and then drifted down to Colorado that many former and current employees of the Department of Corrections were called upon to testify in, and with a very successful result. Essentially, back in the late 1990s and ending in year 2000, we had a series of situations here in Juneau with staff at Lemon Creek Correctional Center, beginning with one of our employees found an obituary that was posted on one of the local bulletin boards in a grocery store identifying one of our supervisors as having died of AIDS, and invited the public to attend his celebration of life ceremony. Well, in fact, the employee was very much alive and not dead at all. Well, these obituaries kept appearing over and over all over Juneau. from that point forward, that was the first shot in a series of incidents. We would receive these dummied up forged letters representing themselves as coming from law enforcement agencies around the country, like the Department of Public Safety for the state of Hawaii, for example. And it would usually be a letter signed by someone ostensibly representing themselves as a law enforcement official, and then it would make reference to something along the lines of, I was doing a check of the Alaska Sex Offender Registry and noticed that one of your employees is a registered sex offender. Please refer to the attached document, and I think you really need to take action on this employee and terminate them from employment. And would have a picture of one of our actual employees pasted on what appeared to be a reprint of the Alaska Sex Offender Registry. And, of course, all of it was phony as well. And these things would roll in at the rate of about one every 3 or 4 months. So we would go through this process of trying to identify who had been recently released from prison. Was it an employee who had an axe to grind, that kind of thing. And we always came up dry, I'm sad to say. Then we got a letter, one of our supervisors got a letter saying that we needed to check out a website that had recently been created on the website on the internet. And it identified one of our supervisors as being a gay cruiser and invited people to meet him in local bathrooms and this kind of thing. I was able to do some research on this, and this is how I got kind of involved in this case, which I was attracted back to a server in Colorado, but I couldn't take it any farther than that. And the web provider was not able to really give me any information about who had set this thing up, other than it was done by an anonymous source back in, even as late as 5 years ago, the internet was a pretty loose place, so you could do those kinds of things back then. The final incident we got involved in was a letter to one of our staff members' wives saying that, representing, again, being the letter being sent by someone supposedly a law enforcement official, saying that that he had found this website and about her husband, who again was involved in gay cruising activities, and he had definite concerns about her health, and it suggested that she go to this website. And was very explicit, gave his name, their address, her name, their child's address and name, or child's name, photos, the whole works. Very, very creepy, as you might imagine it. But at that point, this type of behavior stopped. We didn't hear anything else. So we were left with an unsolved mystery, essentially. Shortly after I assumed this position, I was sworn in. I got a call from a detective, Rita Warfield, in Durango, Colorado, who laid this story out about a college student that had come down there from Alaska and got sideways with a number of students on the campus. And, for example, he would ask a fellow female student out for a date. She would spurn the advance, and then the next thing, she would find these posters put all over the campus about her being a lesbian or whatever, you know, just really nasty stuff. Two or three students later, as this behavior progressed, he started posting or pasting the actual faces of these female students onto other naked bodies using, I would assume, something like Photoshop or something. So it was kind of interesting. Finally, one of the complainants down there filed an actual complaint with the police department. They got enough evidence to go get a search warrant on this guy's apartment and uncovered all this stuff about the state of Alaska. They have the obituary copy, all the letters to our employees and everything else, so there was the connection with Alaska. One of the more serious incidents is this case, as I became more familiar with this case, involved a female professor at the university. It's Fort Lewis College, actually, in Durango. This guy was taking a class, and the professor gave him a grade, gave him a B instead of an A, and so he created this thing called My Fantasy Rape website, whereby he says, he depicts this professor as I'm a professor by day, but at night I have a whole other life, and it's my sexual fantasy to be sexually assaulted by anybody that comes along. Gives the woman's address, she lived alone, gives her street address, phone number, email address, and then encouraged anybody that reads the website to go by her house and commit an assault upon her. Then he, of course, backed this up by putting a printout of this website all over the campus at various bulletin boards. And as if that wasn't enough, she actually started getting calls. Then he created a whole series of phony email addresses and then would email her periodically pretending to be somebody coming to her house to do these things to her. So this is a pretty horrific case, and as a result, several students at the college withdrew and left town. The professor apparently still there, but you know, it was a pretty tenuous existence for her until this case was resolved. This guy was convicted in Colorado court last week on 26 felony counts, and he's facing a maximum penalty of 53 and a half years. And so we did a pretty good job going down there. We were a big part of it because we established how this guy began and then progressed. But I guess I just am here today to tell you this is serious stuff, and I think this piece of legislation is a good first step to addressing what's becoming a very serious national problem. One of the more interesting witnesses I talked to was a gentleman that was there from, I want to say, was it Yahoo or Tripod? Well, anyway, one of the services. And he relayed, we were just kind of talking, I said, well, this is pretty horrific. He says, well, you know what, this is bad, but it's not as bad as some of the stuff we see from the high school kids and college kids nowadays. They use these things to bully each other and to flame each other. And I just think we're going to see a lot more of it. It really is a serious issue. And anyway, thank you for your time.
Okay. So. Thank you, yes, sir, for those examples. Any questions, Ferguson? Sure.
Thanks, Mr. Commissioner. What did they prosecute the person under in Colorado?
Through the chair, Representative Pertula, Colorado, as I understand, is one of seven states that has a criminal libel statute, which is very controversial in terms of those statutes have been attacked on constitutional basis of free speech, and so they are a bit problematic. And they have not prosecuted very many people under this, but not only did they use that, they also used charged him with impersonating police officers, falsifying official documents for the work he did on the Alaska sex offender website and that kind of thing. What was interesting is we weren't able to really file charges on him from Alaska once we identified who it was. We didn't really have anything to tape against him. So I think it's...
We probably still don't, because this statute alone, unless you use that insight to violent behavior, you still wouldn't be covering it even under this.
Well, through the chair, that's correct. In fact, time frame wise, this is after I got appointed as commissioner. So this is recent, relatively recent stuff. This case goes back about 5 or 6 years, but in 2003 is when we first became aware of it. And at that time, I don't believe anything's changed. There was no way for Alaska to prosecute this individual once we became aware of his identity. So.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions? Commissioner.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the time.
Okay. Sir, Representative Hoffman.
May I, Mr. Chairman, thank you. May I direct a question to Ms. Carbonetti?
Sure. Carbonetti, please join us again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies if this has been addressed in judiciary, but I'm just a poor accountant, and I don't know the law here. I'm looking at the language in this, for the proposed new language, a person commits a crime of harassment if, with intent to harass or annoy that person, then it does these things.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're looking at publishing, posting, or distributing electronic or printed photographs, pictures, or films showing certain things of the other person or show that person engaged in a sexual act. Again, the point the commissioner brought up was one that was running around the back of my mind. What if it is, a composite photograph? We put one person's head on the body of another person through, digital imaging techniques. Would that be an affirmative defense to being prosecuted under this language?
Through the chair, I don't think that behavior would be covered by this language.
And then, so if I may, Mr. Chairman,
yeah,
I would direct a question to the sponsor. Sure. Did the sponsor intend to include that sort of behavior in this language?
Representative Hawker, I believe it's covered somewhere else. Didn't we discuss this in judiciary? Ms. Carpinetti or Mike?
I would defer to Mr.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, that activity was not covered in judiciary. The issue that legislative legal has talked about is the issue of free speech, that it gets more problematic as you reach away from the actual person and into the issue where you are doing a design, a composite, if there's something artistic in it that I could be fantasizing and it's not actually related to that person. So what we've tried to do in HB 326 is walk that very fine line between getting into the free speech issues and still staying on the right side. Legislative Legal had some concerns about whether or not you could actually go there with composites.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, an observation that with the abilities in digital imagery today, it makes me wonder how are we accomplishing. I mean, obviously, we're making a step here, but that's certainly an interesting loophole in statute that would still be in existence. There's certainly a very real loophole.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Mr. Hawker. Again, our only intent on this one is just to prohibit people from using current technology, cell phone, whatever, to actually harass someone. But there's still a lot more out there that's maybe covered under a different statute or not covered at all.
This is a pretty limited approach, and I think it's cautious because of the First Amendment concerns.
Okay. I think we do have a question.
Oh, it was just a comment. You might fall under 1161.123, which is indecent viewing or photography, but I mean, again, that's limited too. It depends a lot on the age of the person whose photograph is shown, but there's some coverage there for indecent.
If I may also, I appreciate having more attorneys around here than I know what to do with.
Let's take advantage of it.
Consensual behavior. We've got very strong First Amendment rights. We've got, rights to privacy that get interpreted extremely broadly in this state. But, again, under an issue of consensual behavior, could someone, and I don't know, you help me create this scenario a little better, but someone in a prosecutorial capacity prosecute someone who is engaged in consensual behavior.
I do think that one came up in judiciary, so go ahead.
Well, these photographs that are covered in this proposal could very well have been taken consensually. And that's what that's how this differs from the indecent viewing and photography, because those are taken without consent. These are taken possibly with consent and then used without consent.
The critical differential there is that we have to prove, there's a burden of proof of intent to harass or harm.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Stokes?
Yeah, I apologize. This was covered once I was outside. Was there any discussion about the term depictions? That means that they include caricatures or artist renditions, or, I mean, it's... How broad is that? Was there any discussion on what that means?
I don't recall if there was, perhaps, Mr. Miller.
Representative Stoltz, through the chair. In committee, there hasn't been. I had talked to legal, and that was included because the definitions of photograph versus what you could print a picture on, I mean, it can be different in how that actually works out. So it was included, and it's fairly standard. I believe it's lifted actually out of 1161.123 in a definition. No, it's not.
Could a depiction be where you render somebody's face on another unclothed body? Is it that broad?
Through the chair, Representative Stoltz, that was actually key to what Representative Hawker was saying, was that it has to be limited to the actual person's body whose picture is on there. It can't be photoshopped or traded. That is why this is limited, but the behavior is out there and it's something that people are using.
This girl can't leave fast enough.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Carpenter. Thank you for joining us. All right. If there's no other questions, no one else is available to testify, so we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and move out HB 326 out of committee with the attached list from us with an individual recommendation.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, they'll pass this committee. Okay, that concludes activities for today, unless there's a birthday or something. Take care of it, I don't think so. Tomorrow, I think, may or may not got to notice that we are having a joint meeting with the Senate tomorrow. This will be in the Senate's Finance Committee room. It's at our time, 1:30. And we're going to have a profit-sharing production tax overview by Dr. Pedro Van Meers. So it should be...
Will there be a draft bill to consider in conjunction with the testimony?
Who knows? I do not know of any, and I don't think there will be. I don't think they'll tell us, Suzanne, even if there was. It would be a governor's bill that you're referring to, and we don't know of any bill that's going to be available by tomorrow. I think what I think is that we'll be talking general numbers and how the PPT will work with a kind of a range of numbers. So it should be good, interesting meeting, and again, that'll be over in the Senate Finance Room. And then we'll meet again Thursday to discuss various bonding proposals, the tobacco revenue for the university and correction facilities, as well as Alaska Housing Finance Corporation dividends. And that'll be Thursday. If there's nothing else coming for the committee, we're adjourned. Oh, Bruce?
Sir.
You want to sign this sheet here?